Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hello, and welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
I was wondering when we were going to have our theme music, or if we were going to have it. I like that title. You should record it and just hit a button, though. Oh, no, live is better, I guess.
Live is good.
Anyway, it's the Movies Hate You Show. You are back, or you're here for the first time, or the last time, or halfway through. Welcome. My name is Rob. And we talk about movies sometimes on this show. We are the first and only movie show on Jackalope Radio. Isn't that right, Todd?
No.
Well, damn it, we are. We're okay. The first and only movie show.
Okay, if it makes you feel better.
I don't consider guys sitting around talking about, you know, Prom Night 2. I don't consider that a movie show, do you? I mean, is that really a... I mean, if you're so pigeonholed in your love of movies that you can only discuss horror movies, does that really make it?
I love Prom Night 2.
It's a horror movie show.
Actually, I don't.
I didn't say we're the first and only horror movie show on Jackalope because there's 50 of those.
Hey.
I said we're the first and only movie show, the true movie show.
How about Prom Night 3? That was a good one, actually.
Prom Night 3. What was that one? Return to Annadel High or something? No, what was that? You know what? Forget this. Listen, tonight, Mr. Ree's on vacation. It's too hot for him here in the shadow of New York City. We are hitting the scales at like 100 degrees. We're dying. We're all pissed off more than usual. Everything stinks here. If you ever think about coming to New York, don't. Don't ever come to New York. It stinks. It stinks like rotten milk, usually. And then in days like today, over 90 degree weather, it really stinks like rotten milk. Really does. Todd, don't come here.
I wasn't going to.
Were you ever in New York?
I have been.
Was it a rotten experience for you?
It wasn't rotten for me.
No, shut up, because you were visiting.
I enjoyed myself.
Well, anyway, Mr. Ree is on vacation, or Mental Oriental is taking a break tonight. A little hiatus for this evening, but he'll be back. I know how much all of you love him. I get all that love and hate mail for him. I get barely any, but it's all for him. They miss his DVD reviews, so he's coming back.
Yeah, because they take about 4.5 weeks to get through.
I thought that was the joke, right?
It is.
That's the bit. I just play along with it. I thought that was the bit, that it takes him an hour to...
It's your fault because you interrupt him every 3 seconds.
Anyway, don't give away the secrets of this show. You're like the guy... You're like Penn and Teller, man, giving away the magician's secret.
Someone's got to do it.
How dare you? Well, the last show with Mr. Ree, we tried to call Jackalope's very own native son, 42nd Street Pete, to call him out on his Tarantino ranting and bashing that's been going on for weeks on Facebook. And we are going to try to call him again. Call him.
He's here.
Let's do that. He's just appeared. Now, don't call
that church. I'm here.
Don't call that church by accident. See, I was trying to set it up as a phone
call.
We
already, you called me and you got me on hold, and it's like, well, you didn't call me. Todd called me because he's another one who doesn't know what he's doing. And
thanks!
Do you see, dear listeners, how that radio bit failed? I tried to do a fake phone call to Pete. But all along, we had planned it out because of my failed attempts to get Pete on the show by just cold calling him and catching him off guard in his boxers with like a joint hanging out of his mouth and be like, what the fuck are you doing on Facebook, man? That failed miserably because he's smart enough not to answer the phone at 10 o'clock at night.
Now it's like nobody cares about that because we covered it on my show.
All right, well, screw that. We'll think of something else.
The problem was that Todd couldn't get in the building to air my show. So
it didn't air?
I have no idea. You know, it's like...
Did you do a whole episode on the Django Unchained?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it finally did air. I've aired it like 4 times since then just because I was mad.
The only thing I can add to that is, you know, I'm surprised Quentin Tarantino hasn't died from AIDS because of all that black semen that shot up his ass.
Wait a minute.
Lord have mercy!
Pete, it only aired 4 times, but in the North Korean Jackalope satellite office station.
Oddly enough, that's where a lot of my fans are concentrated.
North Korea?
Yeah. Yeah, Tim Merrill, he's in South Korea.
I hope he's
not. That little midget fruit vendor is a big listener, I know that.
I'm telling you right now, there is no access to jackalope in North Korea.
You wouldn't want to bet on that.
What do they do? Like, when we were kids, we'd hide the transistor radio under the pillow? Is that what they do? They hide the internet under the pillow and listen to jackalope?
Well, they got those small handheld devices that I'm not familiar with. I'm sure they would work at some,
I'm going to have to ask Mr. Ree about this whole thing since he's our Asian connection.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get to the bottom of that.
It's French toast, but that's what I'm saying.
French toast has pointy corners, man.
No, I made my point with the whole thing was, and you know, I'm going to go off on something, another tangent that you and I have both gone off mic, and
Todd Sheets not getting donations from the fans who
his greatness. Jerk offs that I want to talk about later on too.
Listeners of this station, is that what you mean?
Yeah, I don't give a something. I don't care anymore because you and I and Griff and other guys pitched in and did a begathon and we got 3 donations. I went off the other day saying I'm going to pull my show and I got 5 donations, and they weren't even from listeners. They were from friends of mine and felt bad for Todd. So as far as I'm concerned, the listeners of Jackalope105FM.com can kiss my entire ass, you know?
Not just the entire ass.
The entire ass.
Yeah,
now,
the entire ass.
That excludes all the listeners.
Simply hemorrhoid-covered ass, you know?
Jesus. We don't need this. It's 100 degrees out,
man.
Please.
The speed bumps. I don't give a shit, you know?
Please, man. Please.
Yeah. The whole point is... going back to the Django thing where guys my age, you know, and guys like, Keith Crocker, Ed McHale, other guys backed me up, where other guys that I'm not going to mention were like turning my words around, going, you're calling Quentin Tarantino a racist? No, I'm saying the tone of the trailer was racist. Do you read what you're responding to? And then somebody else said, well, you're telling us that the only way to really view these things is in a rundown, dangerous grindhouse, and you know we're too young for that. I said I never said that. I said that's where I viewed the films, not where everybody should view the films. And the God's honest truth is 90% of these morons on eBay are not on eBay, on the internet rather, that call themselves grindhouse experts and this and that. And the other thing wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in a grindhouse. Somebody would have ripped them off. So.
Well, that's the thing. If you've ever been in a real grindhouse, I mean, if you were there, you would not forget it. And it was a very dangerous place.
Yeah.
And I was going to grindhouses as early as 8 years old with my father, who could kick the shit out of 3 or 4 guys at a time. So there was no worry there. But it was still a dangerous place where people threw fireworks into the audience and at the screen. And fist fights broke out, especially because we were going to see, you know, you're talking 78 through like 83, 84, you know, triple features of karate films and stuff. So, you know, I don't know if certain people, when they get around karate films, think they can do karate after the film and sometimes during the film. It's somehow through osmosis of cinema. They have learned the martial arts skills that they've seen on screen. And then in the lobby and out front of the theater after the film, people would get into fights. I mean, karate fights, but like people that didn't know karate. So it was like dudes trying to kick and not like connecting and like, you know, getting up to the waist when they were trying to reach your head. Not to me or my father, but I saw some people beat the hell out of each other after many a Bruce Lee film. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, fanboys. Yeah. Well, hey, so what was the point? Okay, so my thing is this, and I get it. I'm a glass half empty guy 50% of the time. If that makes sense. The other 50%, I try to look at the positive. And Tarantino is employing a few guys, which is good. Franco Nero, sold on that. If he didn't have Franco Nero in it, I would have turned on the whole thing myself.
Franco Nero turned him down the first time.
Well, Franco Nero is untouchable. He's such a legend. I mean, of course. He probably turns down everybody.
But he was going to do Wasteland if he was in the area. What we didn't know was, nobody told us, was that his wife was in he was in New York for quite a while because his wife was doing a Broadway show.
Now, I'm not a fan of conventions, but that's a convention I would show up to if Franco Nero was there.
Exactly.
But, okay, regardless, so I'm trying to look at it from a positive, like, hey, no one else is really doing this. And he's got it's kind of like he's taking advantage of his high profile and doing stuff. I mean, he's not...
What he's doing is he's perverting the whole spaghetti western genre by making it a blaxploitation movie.
But he's,
and it's like, if this is going to be the new thing. I want to see who's going to have the balls to release Mdingo and Drum and Legend of Nigger Charlie and Soul of Nigger Charlie. Okay, if black westerns are going to be in vogue and we're going to shoot down the white boys, let's let all that other stuff come out. Let's let the whole race hate deal come out. That's what it's all about anyway, with as far as that trailer goes. And the other thing is, if you were going to do an actual remake of the original Django, true to the storyline and true to the way it was, with dragging the coffin through the street and everything like that, you have a ton of guys that have done westerns that are completely employable. Lance Hendrickson, William Forsythe, Bo Hopkins, Ernie Borgnine still around, L.Q. Jones. There's a ton of people. Ian McShane, Timothy Olympian, Brad Dourif. You had a whole thing right there, but oh no. Let's just cater to the audience that's going to buy the most tickets. And I'm not being racist. Black people buy more tickets to the movies because they actually go there.
No, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. See, this is where I think you and I start to get a little... We differ a little bit because, first of all, he's not doing a Django remake, and he's never done a remake. It's like you already know his gimmick. He's not Rob Zombie. He's not just rehashing something that's already been done in his own way. He's taking 100 references or 100 things he likes and mixing them in his blender, whether it works or not, who cares? But, I mean, he's got Franco Nero's in this, Don Johnson's in this, Bruce Dern, Tom Savini, James Remar. I mean, these are, you know, these are older guys who aren't necessarily, you know, A-list actors working today. So he's putting guys to work. See, my thing is, he's putting guys to work, but he's not obligated to put everybody to work. He's only one man, and it's one movie.
Well, I'm not saying
Miramax is not going to release it, or whoever. Weinstein's not going to release it if he doesn't put a box office. He's going to go direct-to-video with it if he doesn't put DiCaprio and Sam Jackson and Jamie Foxx in it. He has to. He's balancing it out like he's done in all his movies.
My whole thing is you're taking a legendary spaghetti western and you're completely trashing it to the point where Django will never be associated with a spaghetti western again. That's going to happen.
I get it. I totally get it. And you can't touch Django. He could never touch Django. Even a straight remake, he couldn't touch it. But he did the same thing with Inglourious Basterds. Nothing to do with the other movie. Nothing to do with the original Bastards. not as bad as Jackie Brown. Not as bad as Death Proof. I mean, those are some low points as far as I'm concerned. You know, in the Tarantino filmography, but that's just my opinion. Now, I think the problem with trying to fight people is you're fighting people who don't have the context of where this comes from. So it's almost a personal insult because you and I and Todd and other, you know, the Keiths and the Ed McHales and the people that we talk to about this stuff, the older guys, we are so emotionally invested in the original Django that anybody trying to remake it would be a kick in the face. Anybody messing with it. But the truth is, nobody else is trying this. I mean, the Japanese did it. There was Suzuki.
Teriyaki Django or whatever it was.
Teriyaki Django over
rice. And Tarantino was in that too.
He was in that for 1 second in the beginning. Just
did they shoot him? I didn't see it.
Sukiyaki Western Django. It was kick ass.
It was actually really good, man. And it actually felt like the original Django.
But that's because it was Takashi Miike.
It was Takashi Miike. And it's great. But, I mean, okay, so it's already been re-envisioned. I'm hearing myself, Todd, by the way.
Don't do that.
No, I'm saying that there's equipment failure. I'm hearing myself. But anyway, it's already been re-envisioned. What did Tim Burton say with that terrible Planet of the Apes? Reimagined, right. Reimagined.
Yeah, reimagined, yeah.
I'd like to reimagine that guy's like last four films, you know? I wish I had the way to reimagine.
Lose money like that, you know? What the fuck? You know, that's... My aggravation comes from the fact that some of these people, and I'm just looking at something right now, and somehow somebody tried to get me roped into this thing this week. See, there's a couple message boards that, like, or groups. Is that what they call them on Facebook? Groups?
Groups, yeah, groups. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a member of a couple groups inadvertently because, well, one, I just look for information on my pets, and the other one is this East Coast horror group here. And somebody had emailed me about that they were going, taking Dave Hagen to task over something. So I went on this, I'm reading this crap, and I'm like, I came back with, doesn't it, you know, what happened was, and you'll agree with me on this, the internet gave too many people a voice that shouldn't have a voice. And a lot of these fans shouldn't have a voice. And a lot of these fans, again, are not content with being fans. They actually think they're part of the business. And I saw that on these message boards, how these people are saying, well, if this is that and this is the other thing, well, I have a voice in that, because if I go to a convention and I set up and I sell and I don't make any money, I'm obligated to say something. And I'm like, you're obligated to say what? You bought a table. It's the luck of the draw. You know, if your merchandise sucks, you're not going to sell it. If your merchandise is good, you're probably not going to sell it either, because they probably got too many guests and the autographs will kill everybody.
So, by the time they get to your table with your trinkets.
So I'm listening to this stuff, and the whole deal is they're bashing Hagen for something about showing a film and claiming it's the East Coast premiere. And being that it was shown somewhere in Virginia, that was the East Coast premiere, so now it's the Northeast premiere. I'm like, what are we, in high school? No, we're in grammar school. That's where it is. You can't enjoy something for the simple pleasure of enjoying it. You have to cut it apart. And the other thing is, too, these guys, it seems like they're in a hurry to crap on these conventions, because I just saw something here and, like, you know, whatever. All right. On this thing, bop it up, bop, 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 we go down because somebody found out that Bruce Campbell will only be signing for 3 hours and only 300 fans, and VIPs will have to choose between a photo or autograph besides being promised both. Whatever. They've been breaking this guy's chops. Fright Night Film Fest or something, right?
Yeah.
I understood he false advertised to other people in the past. They were all over him for that. And now this thing with Campbell. You know something? If you're booking these guys to hang out with them, you're out of your mind, number one. And number two, Campbell's a prima donna. I'm sorry. All right? He's not a horror guy anymore. He's a major star. He's on TV. He's all over the place. So, yeah, he's going to get top dollar. Because he's getting top dollar because he's still a working actor. So you're not going to get him on the cheap. And, you know, it's like everybody thinks that, you know, a lot of these celebrities are there because they love the fans. Well, guess what? They're getting paid, most of them. Your big names, like Robert Englund, he's 35 grand. Romero's 10 grand. I don't know what Sid was. Other ones are getting 10, you know, 15,000. You know, it's ridiculous. And that some of these fans actually believe, well, they like me. Yeah, you're spending money. You give me money, I'll love you to death. You give me money, I'll believe in God again. You know, what the hell, you know? That's the deal. They're not your friends.
Well, that's it's the thing. It's become such an industry. What once used to be like a little icing on the cake of a convention you went to buy movies at or posters or something, is now, you know, the draw, and it's a business, and people don't realize that. I mean, that's the thing. The fans are so emotionally tied to this stuff that they think, yeah, Robert Englund wants to meet me. You know, like, oh, I met Robert Englund. He could care less about these people. Could care less about you. They have bills to pay. It's a job. It's a job like going to on the set to work on something. It's a job. You know, and if it's not, then let them do it for free. I want to see which ones do it for free. Which ones won't charge you for an autograph? It's despicable.
Herschel Gordon Lewis won't charge you.
He won't charge you because the promoter has to pay him.
And that's the way it should be.
And that's the way it should be. If you want him there to sell tickets to your thing, then it should be free. It should be free like it used to be.
Yeah,
and you should be there because you're selling something, you got a new product to pitch or something. Not just like, hey, I exist, I'm saying, because it's gotten out of hand. It's like, oh, the guy who played the janitor's brother on this Saturday morning sitcom is going to be signing. Well, I don't care. I mean, I can't believe these people can make money doing this, some of them, because they're so...
It's a cottage industry, and I'm not going to break balls, but there's a convention that's advertising that they have the truck driver from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh,
good you know, for them. And that's going
to impress me? Bring the truck. Where's that truck? I want to see the actual truck that was in the movie.
No, I want to impress me. Bring the geek out who washed the window of the van before Jim Sedlow told them they didn't have any gas.
I just don't get this. Everybody I don't get about this. Him. I don't get this. I didn't get it back when it was happening, you know, 10 years ago when this all started. I don't get it. I just there's something so wrong about it. I just feel like, you know what? I swear to you guys, it gives me the same feeling. Any time in my life I've walked into a go-go bar, you get that feeling of like, wow, this is a con. Like I'm part of a con job.
Well, you're absolutely
and some
right.
Guy, you know and is? Some guys,
it's the typical horror John routine. The celebrity's the whore, and the fucking fan's the John, and the fucking John is willing to pay the fan $20 for a couple minutes of his time and his autograph. That's what it is.
But here's
Pete,
the thing.
Hang on, guys. I got to interrupt for 1 second in this heated debate. Pete, PC says hello.
Oh, how you doing?
All right.
Hi, PC. So the thing is, I've always felt, you know, that fake... You get that fake interest from someone. And I get this at these stupid conventions when you walk past the table. And do you ever have one of these celebrities or has-beens or never was or whatever they are? They start to engage you like, oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, hey, how are you? You know, it's a pretty girl, maybe a wannabe screen queen or somebody who was in like Friday the 13th Part 6 or something. She was killed in it and she wants $30. And I feel like saying, show me your tits. You know, no, anyway, no, I really, you get that. They try to engage you and they say, oh, do you know who I am? And I'm like, oh, yeah, great. I gotta try to walk away from you. Like, I'm not interested. Like, how dare you? Like, I've come here. I didn't, it's like going to a morbid living zoo museum of some sort. And you're watching these freaks, and half of them look like age hasn't done well. You know, they haven't aged well. The world hasn't been good to them. And look, they have a right to make a living. They have a right to take advantage of these fanboys and fangirls.
Oh, I'm not denying that. But
droolers that walk over there, and you know, if you do it, I'm sorry. It's you look like a drooling fool.
You're
standing
in
line. You're a mark. But you know what? I've stood in line for people. I've gotten autographs. There are certain people that I'll mark out for, a handful of people. And so I'm not saying I'm immune to this. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone who does it. All I'm saying is that 50% of me that's glass half empty knows it's a scam. And the other half says, well, hey, if people want to meet their fan and it makes them happy, you know, some kid in a wheelchair comes over and you know, meets the Incredible Hulk or something, I'm not going to take that away from the kid. I don't think you should close these things down, but it's a scam.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know, these people got to chill out with their shit because, you know, I told this one guy, I says, you know something? I got beat up because of my big mouth. I'm probably one of the few guys that actually got beat up for shooting my mouth off on the internet, as dumb as it may seem. But yeah, it happened. And well, I'm telling this guy, I said, you know, you're fucking with a promotion that uses some legit tough guys for security that are loyal to the fucking promotion. That's what it is. They're loyal to it, and they take umbrage on this. I said, dude, it's only a matter of time. Remember that whole deal on the DOI? Everybody was fake posting under their different names, and somebody called out the wife beater and Nate Hatred, and they showed up at his house and beat the crap out of him? That's going to happen again, you know?
Well, here's the thing. You've exposed, by bringing this up, you've exposed the greater, what I feel is the greater problem, the real cancer in this business. I don't know what are we talking about? The horror business? Are we talking about the movie business? I don't know what this is. I guess you would
say the horror business, because the horror business and the wrestling business seem to be the two worst as far as complete assholes involved in them.
Well, okay. Here's what I think is the greater problem, is that you got this guy, he's trying to do something. You know, maybe he's a big fan of Bruce Campbell, Evil Dead. Who isn't? Who doesn't love that shit? Bruce is great. Fine, you want to bring him to your show. You got to abide by his rules. He's a professional. The guy, you know, like you said, he's on TV. He's all over the place. Anyway, now he's tried, and now there's been conditions added to this or whatever. There's a problem, and he's kind enough to tell the fans or whatever. Somebody found out the attacking that's going on to this guy. I mean, it's the same thing. Now I have a DVD company, and I do occasionally release a horror movie. These fans are just so, like, turned inside out on themselves. They don't understand what they're doing to the industry. They're actually making everything obsolete. Like, there will be no more conventions. There will be no more movies coming out. And they really won't, because if something goes down, instead of just dealing with it, you go into these fights over, like, this promoter's a bad person and blah, blah, or somebody releases a DVD. Oh, well, the movie was good, but, you know, it didn't have enough extras. Or the movie, well, the movie could have used 5 minutes of this and 5 minutes of that. And everything has to be dissected. Like, you just can't. What happened to, like, yeah, it was good, I liked it. You know, or nah, not so great, I didn't like that one. And just walk away. Who cares? Why do you have to go? People like it's like some kind of mass autism or something that has struck.
Yeah, here's a perfect example. Somebody's trying to start something. If you attend conventions as a promoter, celebrity, guest, vendor, or just an ordinary everyday fan, join this group and keep others fans informed about upcoming conventions and horror related. You know,
who cares?
I know. Cares? It's like, you know, I hate. That's what I tell people too. I hate to say this, but I don't make my living doing this. Far from it. Now, all of a sudden, me doing this has become an infringement on my other time, because now I'm forced to do other things to make a living because of, like I've said in the past, the torrent sites, you know, the lack of anybody willing to pay anybody, because this guy will do it for nothing because he's a fan. Well, good. Find a 20-year-old that grew up in a grindhouse. You won't, but obviously my opinion's absolutely useless now. And I even said that. So it goes, well, nobody said that. I says, just by what you're posting is telling me my opinion's useless. You guys know it all, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is like you know, with the internet behind you, you could become an expert at something you're maybe not even an expert at, you know?
Wait,
that's the way it is.
Let me just retort something. A lot of the stuff that I know, I didn't get off the internet. You're not going to get off the internet because it's actually imprinted material that is not ever going to see the light of day on the internet unless I decide to throw it up or somebody else does. And that's another situation, because somebody goes, almost said, well, read books. Nobody does that anymore. Yeah, exactly. That's why you fucking people are stupid. Because you don't. All you do is read the shit that's on the internet. And that's exactly what it is. Shit. You pick something up that's, you know, been written 30 years ago, it's not going to be edited and politically correct. It's going to tell you the way it is, the way it should be. But, oh, no, that doesn't mean anything today. All I know is, well, I got a copy of Demons, and it's pristine, and you said you saw it with two reels reversed, and I think that's pretty messed up. No, that was fun.
Yeah, I would have asked for my money back. It's like, no, you're missing the point. It wasn't about the movie. You know, it's like, that's what I mean. It's so insular, man. It is so up its own ass.
It's like everybody wants to pick a fight with people, and the internet's the great place to do it because you can hide.
I
you know it, it, it's just It's just ridiculous because you were actually in New York that time when that somebody called me out, and I said, well, guess what? I'm going to be at the Holland. And we were at the Holland until what? Midnight, right in the front window? Did anybody show up? No,
because it's all you know, happening in people's minds. That's the you know, these are things that, you know, hey, the internet's been around a while now, and we're starting to see the repercussions of this, the real social deterioration.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you the whole social deterioration. When I got beat up, and I mean physically assaulted by two or three people and had my nose broken, my glasses broken, and had the shit kicked out of me, the reason it happened was I was sticking up for the fans because of a certain convention screwing them over. And I took the lumps. I bled for this friggin' business. Can anybody out there listening say they did? No, they can't. Well, but, I'm just an antiquated old man now. I stood up for the whole thing. I was the one who said that fans shouldn't pay $20 for a damn signature, and I got told to shut up. Well, so if anybody was ever pulling for the fans, it was me. But right about now, who cares?
I like to stick up for true fans. The true fans are the people you never meet. You know, it's the weirdest thing. You really don't meet. You see the same three. 300 guys at these conventions. It's the same racket. It's a fact. They're there for, it's like going to a club for them. You know, oh, hey, my friends are here, mama. It's all one big family. It's a social thing for people. It has nothing to do with, oh, you know, who to get. The guest is like gravy. You know, oh, yeah, there's a guest here, blah, blah. They come with their little black cowboy hats and their tattoos and everything, and everybody's a tough guy. Let me tell you something. If you were a real tough guy, you wouldn't be at a horror convention. You wouldn't be getting an autograph from Buck Rogers if you were a real tough guy with your tattoos and
yourself. Hey, I got an autograph from Buck Rogers.
And your piercings in your face.
Son
and all
of a
that.
Bitch!
No, I'm just saying, if you know, these like tough, like, you know, neo-horror guys, you know, and girls with the tattoos and the toughness and everything.
I'm super tough. I even went to dinner with him. I went to damn dinner with Buck Rogers and Tweaky.
I'm not even talking about the fact that you're getting the Buck Rogers thing. You're a nerd, dude. You're a geek and a nerd. You don't front as some kind of, like, you know, I am darkness incarnate. Yeah, I'm darkness, and I'm going to rip his heart out. And
it's like
rockabilly and psychobilly and punk kind of spilled over into horror a little bit. And I think it's brought with it, you know, it's kind of mingled with the uber autistic fanboy mentality, and it's this weird combination of mutant that has been born.
Oh, let me retort about something about somebody else when Todd was in the hospital right after having a heart attack, and this guy, his name's Della Morte, I believe, Della Morte's Dungeon or some crap.
This is a jackalope guy.
Yeah, is that edited? Am I correct? Della Morte's Dungeon or something?
We're gonna start host battles. Wait a minute, no.
I'm gonna say it right away. This little asshole, I don't know who the hell he is, but Todd was in the hospital after the heart attack trying to recover, and he insisted that his show be taped. And Todd went ahead and did it for some reason. I would have told the guy to go fuck himself. But he was breaking balls about how it's his year anniversary and he's a top-rated show on Jackalope, and maybe you should pull the show and go somewhere else. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You can pull my prick and go somewhere else, you little douchebag. This guy is doing all this stuff for nothing, and you broke his balls in the hospital, you useless piece of shit. I can't believe the balls of you. You're the top-rated show on Jackalope? In your mind, motherfucker. Because Night Watch, as far as I know, is a top-rated show on Jackalope. If this guy wants a war with me, I'll give it to him. I'll go out with a bang. Because you know what they say? The fire always burns the brightest when it's just about to go out.
There's no need to get into actual fighting.
Come on. You know, I'll go over and kick his door in and, you know, sodomize him.
Don't threaten people on the show. You're gonna get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Do me that favor. I got two vicious puppies. The thing is, he behaved like an asshole, and there was no need to do this thing. Your year anniversary could wait. This guy almost died. So, yeah, bite me.
I got to be with you on that. If this story is true...
I don't make stuff up.
No, I'm not saying you did. But, yeah, I mean, we all...
I don't just talk to Todd about this. I talk to his, his minions. You know?
Pete, you're so controversial, Pete. You've come on my show, and you started controversial.
Trying to do the right thing by my friend, and I don't appreciate somebody... You know, it'd be like
Did either of us push the issue about getting our damn shows there? We didn't give a shit. We were more worried about him getting better.
I called for a boycott. I called for all the hosts to take a hiatus and force Todd and just tell him, no, I'm not doing the shows.
Yeah, we were all willing to do it except this
douchebag. Yeah, everybody at once just be like, no, Todd, we're not doing it until you take a couple months and get...
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what is it? I mean, okay, who is it? Whoever this guy is he making a living doing this? Is his kids not getting fed because he's not doing the show? That I would understand. I doubt it. He's probably doing it like the rest of us just for fun. And you know what? I'm sure it's a great show. I've never heard it, but there you go. You know, it's like you need to look at – this is the – and again, Pete, another core issue here. There's reality. The reality is Todd Sheets was pretty much dead. Dead, like in real life, not like in the movies. Like he almost died. The man almost died. And partly because he pushes himself too much trying to please all his hosts so they don't stop doing their shows because he loves doing it and loves giving fans the opportunity to hear all these different voices. So there's your plug, Todd. But, you know, you can't take advantage of Todd's good nature. Because I know if you push Todd, he'll say yes to anything just to make you happy. And that's a plus for him 90% of the time. But then there's that 10% where it's going to hurt him. And we, as close people to him and doing the show and working with him, we have to know when to say, hey, you know what? You know, since Todd's come back, I've been like every week, it's like, hey, man, if you feel like doing a show, we'll do it. If not, run a rerun, blah, blah. That's my attitude from now on. That's it. Because Todd, you know, because Todd has been through something. So if he calls me 2 minutes before the show and says, hey, man, I don't feel so good, I'm going to go home, hey, man, I hope you feel better. That's it. Not like, oh, but my show, and I've got 2,000 listeners, and whatever, you know? Whatever, man. It doesn't matter. His health comes first. My health comes first. Pete, your health comes first. It's just a show. It's just a show. It's awesome. It's great. I love doing it with all my heart, but it's just a show. And that's the point, is that they're just movies. It's just a DVD. It's just a poster. It's just some dude at a table with a pen. It's not. It's just a convention. It's not. Don't invest everything in it. There is so much shit, garbage going on in this world right now that for you to obsess over some bullshit aspect ratio on a movie or something, you're a pathetic human being, and you should be taken out and shot.
Yeah, really. But you know, here's the thing too. Like Saturday night, we're going to have Ted Michaels on my show live because Ted just did what I considered a pretty cool movie, Astro Zombies M4, Invaders from Cyberspace. And, you know, Ted's one of the legends. He's one of the few guys still around from that era. And, you know, I want to pay some respect to him. I don't do this to put myself over. I do it for guys like Ted, you know. And, you know, we unfortunately, you know, we never got Dave Friedman on, but we did have, you know, a little tribute show for him. And, you know, we've had Sid Haig on. I do it for guys that I respect what they're doing. You know, I've turned guys down that wanted to be on this show because they're douchebags. So, but, you know, Saturday night should be really good. You know, we're going to take calls at the half-hour mark so people would, you know, tell Ted they love him and stuff, you know. So, I mean, the guy's 83 years old and he's still trying to make films. He's been making films for 50 years. Now, that's a legend. That's a guy who they should be paying homage to at these conventions. But, we just found a victim of Freddy Krueger's left pinky. We got to get her on, you know?
I get it. You know, I get it, like you want to when you like something, when you like a band or a movie or something, you want to get as close to it as you can. And there are completists and stuff. Oh, I got all the signatures from this movie or whatever. It's cool in theory, but I think some people take it too far. I think there's an obsession with this stuff. And I mean, you have to understand that, when we came up watching these movies and stuff, there wasn't the same kind of obsession. And there was a well-roundedness about people. I remember early conventions, you might wind up talking about movies that had nothing to do with horror. It was just about like talking, you knew, you kind of had a little bit of academic knowledge of movies. You kind of had, you could go into music and go into blah, blah, blah. But everything's so, it just seems so isolated and insular. And of course, there's exceptions. This is not everyone. This is not to blanket everyone. But if you look at the kind of, if I want to say the tone of what's going on, there's a tone. There's a snarkiness. There's a negativity. Like if you know, I put out a movie and it gets three good reviews, and it, you can tell like the fourth guy saw those good reviews and said, "Well, I'm going to be the one who wrote the bad one." You can just tell they're reaching to give it the bad review. They're reaching for the bad stuff. They like the movie, but they just can't. They can't give it to you because they're just too cool and they're just too snarky. And for them to give in to a movie, you know, to let a movie control them in that way is some kind of problem. I just don't. I see company. Do you see it too? You both see it. These companies spend thousands and thousands of dollars restoring movies, getting extras, flying people all over the world to record interviews with these, you know, Italian people and, you know, stars of these obscure movies, and they release these things, you know, 20, 30 grand in a hole. And then they get crapped on by the fans. Instead of just looking at a person's efforts, it's almost like, well, it didn't have this one thing that I wanted, therefore it's all bad. You know, it's an autistic Asperger syndrome that is taking over.
Yeah, let me play the devil's advocate for a minute, because Todd goes off on this. He foams at the mouth and stuff, and so does Don May and a couple other guys. Somebody put out that Tree on a Meat Hook Flesh Feast combo, and people are shitting all over it. And I'm like, all right, I agree, it sucks, but does it suck any better than the one that they're charging $29.95 for? It has a screen grab for a cover, and it's the same damn thing.
But my point is this: who cares?
Exactly,
it's a shitty movie. Both those movies suck balls. You can't even sit through them.
Yeah.
So what? Don't buy it. Like, you take it personally. Why do you take it personally? You had nothing to do with the film. You're not related to anyone who made it or is in it.
Hold on, let me interject. I don't take it personally. What I had a problem with was the fact that it was below VHS quality. It was so bad that it was almost unwatchable on Flesh Feast.
So what? Return it.
Take it back.
They won't let you once you unwrap it. They won't take it back.
So get a shrink wrapper, dude.
Yeah, and so Pete had one. So what I did was I got that double feature. Pete and I were talking about the Drive-In Massacre and the Driller Killer. Yeah. Dude, it's like you're watching it through Venetian blinds. It is so bad that there's
But that's what movies looked like back then. That's
they didn't. I mean, I have the VHS. I know what the VHS looks like.
You want it to be HD?
No, I want it to be watchable. I'm talking about, I have the VHS, and these look, honest to God, like there's some problem. There's like these weird vertical lines, man. It's weird. It's like you don't put that stuff out. I don't care who you are, because people pay, you know, money for it. And it's like, okay.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, I'm pretty sure it must be the same guy who's doing cheesy flicks, because he throws anything out.
No, because I got the cheesy flicks ones, and they're 10 times better than this stuff.
Oh, no, they're not. I bought stuff off cheesy flicks, and they suck.
I swear it, because you haven't seen this Drive-In Massacre. The version on Cheesy Flicks, at least you can see the credits. This is terrible. I mean, it's like literally blocks that you're looking at on the screen. These big blocks. It's terrible.
Just like
on TV. But I'm just saying, okay, be that as it may, if there is no other version out there, just be happy you have the piece of shit, you know?
But the thing is, again, you want, and here's the thing. Now, somebody goes out and gets one of these pictures. They get the rights to it. They spend, you know, $15,000 doing all this stuff, and he releases it, and then it's like, well, the presentation's great, it's widescreen, but it's missing 30 seconds at the, 85-minute mark, you know?
I didn't care about that.
You can't win with these people. You can't win with them. You can't appease them. If you go into this business kowtowing and really bending over for these fans, they're just going to give it to you, man. They love that. They love when they make you squirm. They love to watch you. They love to watch these guys who own these DVD companies go on the message boards and try to defend their work and stuff. They love it, like the Code Red guys. They love going after them because it pisses them off, and they get mad, and they say, we're not going to do any more stuff. And they love it. The fans love when you give them that little bit of power. I wouldn't give them
if it's the fans.
5 seconds. Who is it then? Who are these
people? It's the fans.
Put these clowns on Amazon and all these boards.
Amazon gives the fans the
European version had this and this, but the European and this. And oh, well, this is not like, oh, well, and then they start trying to determine, like, you know, the chain of title on stuff and shit. They're crazy, man. They're crazy. Yeah. Stay out of it. You go to the store and buy the stuff you should be concerned about and you should be investigating, you're throwing down in your mouth and drinking and you're dying, and they're giving you cancer, and they're fucking with your food and modifying it, and they're destroying your body and your life, and you're sick, and you're going to die, and your kids are going to suffer. You're going to die when you're 12.
Where the hell is this coming from, you crazy bastard?
No, no, because this the same energy that these freaks spend, like, dissecting this, like, well, you know, the frame, there was a little bit of a, I saw a hair, you know, at the 62-minute mark, there was a hair, and, you know, it was a little, yeah, it kind of ruined the whole disc for me. Freak, and then you'll go to McDonald's, and then that clown will leave his trailer park or his mom's basement, he'll drive to McDonald's, and then eat, like, 2,500 calories of genetically modified garbage, killing himself. But he doesn't go to McDonald's and question them. Hey, well, where did this food come from? I want to know before I eat it. But then they'll start a war, like, well, I want to know, you know, I want to know, is this the official version or is this a bootleg? I'm not going to buy it if it's a bootleg. You know, I don't know. I'll wait for the official version to come out. It's like, you're such a fool. Like, you're hoodwinked. The world is cheating you. The tax man, the credit card companies, the banks, the food companies, the supermarket, the corner store. Everybody's walking there laughing at you, you clown. They're laughing at you, little family movie kid.
But Bruce Campbell loves me.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell's not going to sign. Well, what if I'm in line and I'm up to 300, I'm 301? Am I going to get the signature? Blah, blah, blah. And he's stuffing Kentucky Fried Chicken in his mouth. he's drinking the Mountain Dew, like the 84-ounce Mountain Dew. Oh, is Bruce Campbell going to sign for me? As he's putting that poison into his mouth and killing himself. That's why I hate fans, because that energy that they spend, they could be spending on productive shit in this world, helping change stuff. And say, you're not going to change. The guy who released your driving mask or whatever, that person's gone. They're in China. They're gone. They got the money and they're gone. They got, what is it, a $2 DVD? Oh, my God. It's the end of the world. I'm so pissed.
Dirty bitch.
They shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it. Meanwhile, you're gonna go to Arby's and get the roast beef, you know, with the rat piss in it and everything. It's a sick, autistic Asperger syndrome diversion of reality. It doesn't matter. These are just movies, okay? Some of them are awesome. Some of them change the way we think about things. Most of them don't. Most of them are just garbage, and we just have to enjoy them and laugh at them and have a good time. And sometimes you get burned. Sometimes you go to a movie and you spend $20 and it's a piece of shit movie. The script is so bad, but it's a beautiful HD, 3D presentation. But the script is so bad, it might as well have been seen through a curtain. So what do I care if a $2 DVD ripped me off, throw it in the garbage with all the other garbage I throw out every day? I don't understand what's the emotional obsession with it.
You dirty bastards!
See what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. I want somebody to explain it to me. Why is it taken personally? I go to the movies and I see a movie and I'm like, I don't get how dare Ridley Scott do that and screw up the Alien franchise or whatever. What do I care? It's a man's job, and he's I'm sure he's very happy, and I'm sure he bought a new home with the money. You know, it's like that classic quote from Michael Caine. Somebody asked him about Jaws 4, and he says, "Oh." He goes, "I've never seen it." He goes, "I heard it's quite a terrible picture, but I have to say the house that I bought is quite beautiful." See, these people don't care about you. They go, they put out a DVD, they make a movie. They're not sitting there obsessed with it. Oh, what is this fan thing? Oh, no, please like me. Please like me. I'll never release. I only release stuff that I believe in. And I will never release something because I think the fans want it. I'll never put something on a disc because I think the fans like it. I'll put it on the disc because I think it needs it or it was given to me by the filmmaker. I'm never, 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 never going to banter to these people, because no matter what you do to please them, there's going to be something wrong with it. So put your heart into it and do the best you can, and you're happy with it, and let it go, and that's it. Because it's going to get either ditched or totally trashed, or it's going to be, you know, given good reviews, bad reviews. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Once you release it to the world, that's it. It's not coming back. There's no more molding and shaping it.
Are you still listening to god dang trash music in the background?
That's my meditation music. As you can tell, I like to meditate.
You need to meditate.
No, I don't, man. I'm quite passionate about this, my friend. And I'm really saddened. And believe me, I was a fanboy when I was 5 years old. I grew up reading Famous Monsters, Fangoria, everything. A fanboy. Every issue, bought every movie. thousands of movies in my collection, still to this day, still growing. I am a movie fan, and it pains me to hate movie fans of today the way I do. And in fact, that I'm in the business putting out movies with some excellent, wonderful filmmakers that I work with, and trying to get their stuff out.
Don't be buttering me up now.
No, you offended me. No, that's all right. It just pains me that no matter what I do, that I'm throwing these filmmakers to the wolves every time, because these people are. It's just like it comes out of nowhere. It's not like hey, okay, set up a standard and then make people live. But there's no standard when somebody meets, like when you mentioned Don May before. When Don May goes out of you know what's the usual context of putting out a DVD and goes all out with this stuff. I mean, this stuff's beautiful. Nobody can take this guy's work away from him. This guy gets trashed. He can't even please the fan. Criterion can't please the fan.
No, they can't.
Start complaining. You go to Criterion boards, you see the bitch sessions about, oh well, the sound dropped that for 3 seconds at the blah blah blah. It's like a guy went to Japan to find a print and spent his life savings getting that print back here to America so they could do something with it. But then that's the comment you get at the end. It's like, yeah, but
I have
like,
to agree with you on that one. I'm totally in your corner on that. And I totally agree. Like for instance, Code Red going basically out of their minds and bankrupt just to put out that damn nightmare because Scavolini thought he had Gone with the Wind and put him through hell.
Yeah.
And the guy about lost everything to put that out. And you know what? I got it and I was very happy with it. I was very pleased. Other people are complaining. I just love the fact that it's a beat up drive-in print. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I love it. Man.
There's a difference though between that and taking some really terrible Venetian blind looking thing that you can't even see. You can't even read.
Listen, Mill Creek made millions of dollars doing that with those multi-packs and all that.
There's a
place for that stuff. If it's cheap, I don't care what it is. If it's cheap, if I'm getting 50 movies in a box for
That's different. This was $9. Two movies for $15. I mean, come on.
The buyer beware. What do you want me to say?
He says he paid $15 for that thing, and it's all over the place for $9.95. That's like a
friggin' drugstore $2 thing.
But here in Kansas City, you can't find the crap, so you have to pay when you find it. It's like there.
Get it on the internet. You can probably get an internet for $1 on Amazon or something. Yeah. Whatever, dude. I'm not trying to take away that you spent money and you felt ripped off. Totally understand that.
You're trying to screw me over.
But it's happened to all of us. How many times has it happened? It's been happening since the beginning of time. I mean, sometimes, you know, somebody puts out something stellar, and sometimes something's mediocre, sometimes something's garbage. I mean, it's like when you go to the store and you try a new restaurant, and it's shit. You're still going to pay the bill, and you leave, and you don't go back there again. So don't buy anything from this company anymore if you don't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
some people can only afford a $2 DVD. They can't afford the $20 version of the movie that Criterion puts out or whatever. I don't know what the context of the whole thing is, but I'm just saying is like there is a market. If Mill Creek's proven, there's a market for VHS transfers of movies that nobody else is bothering releasing or can't get prints.
I agree, and I don't complain about those. I can at least
watch them. And here's the other thing. If you don't want to buy DVDs of those VHS things, you can get that stuff on the internet and watch it for free. You know? If it's a public domain stuff that nobody's releasing or nobody gets a print of, go watch. You know, you can't afford Night of the Living Dead? Well, you can go watch it for free on 1,000 sites. So there are other options for you. Just see the movie. I mean, it's about enjoying the film. It's not about dissecting the people who put it out. It's not who cares. Like, do you ever think about that? Have you ever in your life anywhere else, like your car breaks down, do you go to try to find the guy who put it together in Detroit?
I'm ready. I'm ready to take that bitch out.
Just don't get it, man. Then maybe you have a little bit of Asperger fanboy syndrome too. Yeah. But of course you're a Batman fan, so of course you do.
Dickhead.
By the way, Joel Schumacher, best Batman.
I will kill you again.
Kill me again.
Don't try that, man. Pete knows I go crazy.
That's all right, man. I like those cod pieces, man. You know, it's good stuff.
Pete,
you like
knows
that here
I'll
in
go
New
out
York?
Of my damn mind. He'll tell you to quit.
Yeah. We out of time yet?
Almost. We got about 2 minutes.
Two minutes. You know, listen, to wrap this up, it's a tough position to be in for the three of us, I think, because we're all in the business, so to speak. Todd is a movie maker. Todd has a station. Todd's been in film production for years. Pete's been there from the beginning of Grindhouse, even before that. You know, he has films on the market. He puts out DVDs. He sells, you know, DVDs. He's a wholesaler, and he's been in, you know, he's been in this forever. And I have my own label, and I've been a fan forever. So it's not easy to say these things. It sounds like a bitch session, and I don't want it to completely sound like that. But there is a major cancer happening in specifically the horror or genre or sci-fi, whatever it is, because I see it happen in sci-fi. I don't see it happen like on message boards about like romantic comedies or even, you know, so the best fans are the ones who are just appreciative to get the damn thing. You know, it's like some people say, oh my God, I remember this when I was a kid. It was so good to see it again.
Too bad we can't see it because you can't even read the son of a bitch.
Thank you guys for putting this out. And then they move on. You know, that's what it's really all about, is touching the person, touching the heart of the person who either has never seen it and you've turned them on to something new and good, or they saw it when they were younger and they haven't been able to find it and somebody's actually put it out. Whatever it is, man, whatever the reason is, that's really what it's all about. And we can't lose that by getting caught up in the minutia of, well, I would have liked it better if the, you know, if the DVD cover was better. You know, like I see a lot of reviews. First off, the DVD cover is deceiving. It was like, when was that ever a problem? That is the grindhouse exploitation tradition. That's how, dude, Hollywood does that to you. You know, you go to see the Tom Cruise movie, and you know that's all a deception campaign to get you in the theater. That's the business. It's a business. It's the same bullshit when you see an ad for the hamburger on TV. When you go to the store, it doesn't look the same. That's called advertising. You know, it's like that. If the DVD was deceiving, it did its job because you bought it, you know? Anyway, I'm not trying to destroy fandom, but it definitely needs a good enema, to quote
Gary Clark said that to me years ago. The whole business needs a good enema.
It really does, man. It's hurtful. It's hurtful to people who are really trying to do something who might not have $1 million in the bank. And, you know, if you just want people with, you know, the best, you know, everybody with the money or everybody with the best, then you're going to be very limited in what you see, man. You know, if you're going to tear apart every attempt that's made that's not, you know, coming out of a Hollywood studio or something, I don't know. But then again, you know, I went to see Prometheus, and then I go and I read about Prometheus, and it's just the same thing. People trashing it. Like, why did he do that? Well, you know, this scene of blah, 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 it wasn't authentic. This character would have never have done this. And I think, you know, really Scott made a huge mistake and ruined his career by having these characters do this. And I'm like, really? I don't just get it. I mean, it's really out of control. It's everyone having a voice was not such a good social experiment.
Nah.
Including me. Wasn't a good experiment. Because I'm pissed off now. Is that it for us?
Are you done? Jesus.
Are you done producing this turd?
I'm trying. It's time. I think it's time to go.
Should I wrap it up?
You be here 4 hours. You go.
Yep.
Pete, man, always an awesome pleasure to have you stop by the Movies Hate You show.
Same here, dude. Always great to hang out. Shit.
Always a pleasure to visit your show occasionally. And we will nail you one night with a phone call and get you while you're watching some old vintage porn. We're going to interrupt you, and you're going to be really pissed off at us.
Not a problem.
All right, so this has been the Movies Hate You show, and this has been the 42nd Street Pete Hates You show. And Todd Sheets, thank you very much, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Don't forget to change the circular thing in your chest. Take out the old one and put the new battery in, that whole thing, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's yours, or is that Iron Man? I forget.
I think we're one in the same.
There you go. Our very own Iron Man, Todd Jackalope Radio Sheets. Thank you, sir, for producing this show.
Of course.
And we will see you next time and yell at you some more.
This has been the Movies Hate You show.
Awesome. I love that. All right. Good night.
Right back to where we started from. Remember the day. Let's coming on. We gotta get right back to where we started from. Love is good, love can be strong. We gotta get right back to where we started from. It's on.